Good morning. Boy, oh boy. You're listening to Vigilante for Soul by V right here on Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, D. Shipman. It's Monday, November 20th. That song tickles me just to death. Guy is really, really a very talented artist. Did a lot of work with Jill Scott, all the Philly artists. Really, really up-and-coming cat. It's been around a minute, you know, and that's typically how it goes. I explain to, you know, people that are not in the biz that, you know, a lot of times when you see these people on awards and everything, and you just assume that they've come out of nowhere, but they've toiled in obscurity, trust me, for years. Now, this guy has been a backup singer for a number of years for, you know, already named Jill Scott, but he's done work with virtually every artist that's come out of Philadelphia and many more. As a matter of fact, this is like he's been on the radar for years before he even dropped his first album. I'm gonna do more work into him. By the way, his name is Valvin Rowan, and they call him V for short, obviously. But he's been around for a while, you know, working with Anthony Hamilton and Justin Timberlake, musical soul child Will Smith. So, you know, all the Philly cats. At any rate, we have an exciting show for you. 39 degrees in Brooklyn, and fairly cold. It's going to warm up a little bit, not that much today yet. I believe we're getting into the 50s, but it is November, irrespective of global warming. And I can't wait for Thanksgiving. We, you know, I need a break. I mean, you know, I work like 24/7, and it's really ridiculous. I look forward to spending time with friends and family. You know, letting my hair down, what little I have left. And, you know, there hasn't been many new developments since the special counsel, Robert Mueller, our former FBI director. I believe he was something else in the Justice Department before he was appointed FBI chief. You know this. Pretty high profile, significant position, you know, requiring an extraordinary degree of, or extraordinary level of clearances, you know, the super top secret, you know, you chief FBI and stuff like that, you're on par with CIA and NSA and that sort of thing, you're privy to all that information, and so you have to be, you know, pretty clean cut, and, you know, Mueller, by all objective reports, is that he is what he presents to be, and, you know, I'm as impatient as the next person. We're wondering why it's taken him, or is taking him so long to bring indictments against you-know-who. And the clown show that is emblemized by this White House and this clown and his trusty old gay sidekick Pent Up is corrupt. They still have a tremendous amount of allies. They have a complicit Republican-led Congress, Republican-dominated Congress, who this administration has been a little more than a unilateral wet dream. I mean, you can't basically characterize as little else. They have a wish list of draconian legislation they wish to enact. They tried with the Affordable Care Act and they couldn't do it, so they've dismantled it brick by brick. And the tax cut that they're proposing And I just posted something on LinkedIn. I'll get it up on the website in a second. I have to do some work to it. Change the code so that it'll code properly on the site. Take me a couple of minutes after the end of the show, but it clearly benefits the wealthy and does very little to put more money in the pockets of middle class folk. And anyone that says it does is either a liar or deluded. It's that simple. The numbers or the math in this particular case doesn't lie. And the problem with it is beyond the deficit. I'm not so much concerned about the deficit, even though we're borrowing against our grandkids' dowry. But I believe this spending is necessary. Some spending is necessary to stimulate the economy. However, these cuts are unconscionable. New Yorker wrote a very interesting piece that we need to take a look at about it. It's not by Cassidy, it's by Adams, I believe. I read it earlier yesterday. Sunday is my reading day. It's the only day I can get any reading in any longer. I have to return from service, and it's a good read. It's really painful to see how far the Republicans are going to go to hurt the most vulnerable, least represented, and least of those. And we have some advocates in the Congress. Somebody, Sharpton, I believe, on his show was talking about the Congressional Black Caucus, the CBC, has been taking an active role. I haven't heard much, much like the caller who he took issue with. And I am in media, and I haven't heard a great deal from the Congressional Black Caucus. Well, I'm sure that individual members like Maxine Waters and Karen Bell, both, well, one is out of California, the other is out of Texas, have taken a lead as so individually, but collectively, I haven't heard a cacophony of dissension that we would expect from a caucus that represents black folk. Let's keep it real. And you know, they should be out there banging the drums. And you know, this segues into another issue that I've been pounding on for quite a while. And my loyal listeners will know. And that's the fact that, you know, during the election, you know, from 2015 basically to 2016. I was out there almost a lone voice. Some of the pundits, you know, have written me back, you know, little one-liners and this sort of thing. I guess they're too busy guarding their fiefdoms to do an in-depth analysis into or an in-depth essay, you know, where they have larger voices than my own, larger platforms, to deal with this issue. But the fact of the matter is that the Democratic National Committee, the Clinton campaign, and some of its largest donors, like Emily's List, did not spend money with black media. Little companies like ours, like East New York Management, we're a multimedia management company. We do a variety of things in media, voiceovers and narration and production and that sort of thing. You can find out more about us on www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Or eastnewyorkmanagement.com. As a matter of fact, I have to renew that domain. I just got a bill, and I got a, I don't know. I had a webmaster, and I've asked them to point .net.com. It hasn't really done it. It's very difficult. This is another issue. We're gonna have talk about that at another day and time. You know, everybody wants top dollar to do what essentially is pedestrian work. I mean, I could learn to code myself and, you know, CSS or JavaScript, HTML, that sort of. They're not really using that anymore. HTML5, they are, however. But you know, like Freud said, we have limited psychic energy. You know, I'm by training a social and behavioral scientist, a lawyer by accident, and other things by advocation. And I don't really want to take on another role. I have a lot of training that I'm doing for a volunteer organization I'm putting together, much like the old Civil Defense Association back in the days, which was subsumed to a small part by the Emergency Management Agency, which predated FEMA in the late 80s, and you know, was absorbed eventually by the Department of Homeland Security. So I'm doing a lot of training associated with that, and I really don't want to take on this added chore. I had a guy, a friend of mine, and this is why you can't hire friends and family, that was supposed to be working on it and was wholly incompetent and argumentative and created a lot of dissension in my organization. And we had to part ways and broke the friendship, not irrevocably. I've heard from him since, but you know, he was under the delusion that he could walk back in at some juncture and just resume the destruction that he had initiated while he was there. And I was like, nah, I don't think so. So at any rate, long and short of it is that you know, we have a lot of work to do to get where we need to be in terms of our not social media. Our social media is fine. We're on all the major platforms, but certainly get our website where it needs to be. And it's just difficult to find people that want to do it in a cost-effective manner. Everybody has their hands stuck out, and their work is shoddy. I had a guy that was doing work for me for a number of years and blamed me for, you know, after I just paid him, you know, a few hundred dollars, whatever it was, you know, for not basically keeping up with what he was supposed to be. I mean, I just couldn't get my head around that. I mean, if I'm paying you, you're supposed to ensure that there are no broken links in my website, and you know, the code is working properly and that sort of thing. You know, at any rate, you know. I guess you get what you pay for. You know, I guess if I, you know, had a budget of, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, you know, I could go into the city or even here in Brooklyn and you know, find someone that could really take the site to the next level, you know, instead of this, you know, static bull crap that we have on it now, that I had a guy do and gave me a whole hell of a lot of problems about it. You know, I was just telling you about the fact that I've asked, I must have asked the guy about 10 times to point East New York Management.net, the domain to East New York Management.com, didn't do so. You know, I know I'm ranting, and you have to forgive me. As a matter of fact, you know, because this is the type of stuff that, you know, when you're a small business, you know, basically a mom and a pop type operation, this is the type of stuff of nightmares, you know, because you don't have you don't have the budget to you know, simply, or not even a budget, you don't have the time to, you know, micromanage things that you would assume the person that you've hired would do. I mean, you know, you've asked them to do it, and you expect them to be a professional, and unfortunately, it just—you you know, for whatever reason, doesn't work like that. So we'll figure it out. Let's take a break and we'll come back on the other side of the break, finish talking a little bit. And you're tuned to the Market Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, on the Mid-Ike Monday, November 20th, 2017. 39 degrees and cloudy outside. Threatens to be a cool, I would say, winter day. But, you know, for the winter here in New York, it's been relatively mild, I can tell you, man. Used to be much colder than this at this time of the year. 39 is balmy, practically, for this time of the year in New York. So, on the other side of the break, I was ranting about the fact that I can't get anyone to just do their job, you know, without micromanaging them and threatening to, you know, alienate them, because you get so pissed off because, you know, you have limited finite, you know, budget for this thing, and then they're squandering and not doing anything, then blaming you, you know, when somebody else comes in and audits and see that they haven't done much or anything, you know. It's really outrageous. So that's why we've been taking our time and, you know, doing some stuff that we need to do to it. I mean, eventually after the new year. When I actually, then this is something else I've been talking about, you know, but much of it has been subsumed by the election of 45 Chumped Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker, a.k.a. Clueless Clown, and his trusty old gay sidekick, Penta. But the other thing that we've been doing is we've been looking for some office space. Not office space, I mean new space, in other words. We want to have a presence in the Mid-Atlantic, the Washington, Baltimore, Washington, D.C. Quarter, the, you know, metro region. You know, New York is great. It's fantastic. Obviously, I love it. Native New Yorker, born, raised, and educated here. You know, all my friends and family still live here. But that area poses the opportunity for tremendous growth. We can get it now, you know, because the city's in disarray. I mean, it's, and by the city, I mean, you know, not necessarily Washington, D.C., even though that has its problems. Certain wards, certain, you know, certainly the SE Southeast, and other sections as well, Anacostia, you know, but Baltimore is just uninhabitable on the west side. And, you know, sort of downtown, you know, it's a lot better. It's posture. There's a lot of underperforming buildings down there. And we've identified some. We can't get in contact or have tried to get in contact with the owners to negotiate a nice long-term lease and haven't had much success. Because a lot of them are using management companies and brokers and that sort of thing, and you know, we're disinclined to follow that model. You know, obviously a broker or a realtor would have their hands stuck in your pocket for their fees, which typically equal one or in some cases could well, I don't know what the law is, so I don't want to say you know, speculate. But certainly for 1 month rent. So anyway, you know, there's so many underperforming buildings in Baltimore. Who's moving to Baltimore? You tell me. We are, because we feel that its market is ripe for I don't want to say exploitation, but I will. And that's what we've been working on now. By the New Year's, we're hoping to identify some loft space there at an affordable price, 1,000 square feet, roughly wood floors, exposed brick, cathedral ceilings, windows, that sort of thing. Something where we can, have everything in one place. And we've been, looking to do this for a while. I mean, there's tons of potential places out there. I just got to get out there. Maybe tomorrow I'll take a run into Baltimore. I have to be in that area anyway to do some work, and just drive around, man, see if I can find numbers and this, that, and the other. And this is a big problem down there. One of these numbskulls killed a city cop out there, black guy, a detective. Shot him in the head. I could tell you, I've been on the west side of Baltimore, man. It is uninhabitable. It's like a war zone over there. All these derelict buildings, and it's just awful. Unfortunately, I don't want to put all the blame on black folks, but this was under the watch of Elijah Cummings and the current mayor. She's in her 60s. She was there when all this was going on. Not going on, when the city started deteriorating. They were, in grad school or just starting their professional careers, and they were around, if not in policy-making positions, certainly, they were waiting in the wings for their turn. And when their turn came, they promptly squandered the opportunity to do anything substantive in turning the city around. And when Sparrow's Point, which was a huge manufacturing hub, I believe USS Steel owned part of it, was sort of decommissioning, all those jobs, thousands and thousands of middle class jobs, they knew what would be going. And they did paid a little lip service to trying to keep Bethlehem Steel there, but they were ultimately unsuccessful, and this is what happened. Now we have a casino downtown. Okay, fantastic, but little else by way of jobs, and people, aren't entrepreneurs. Some people are what I call worker bees, and I don't say that derisively. You need worker bees. You need people who aren't entrepreneur, don't have an entrepreneurial spirit. We'll talk about this more next week. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you on Monday. God bless.